This is podcast number 147 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and I'm continuing my thoughts today on building a temple within. I frequently get letters from moms, and I love to hear from you, but many letters start similarly to this. Dear Marlene, I love the philosophy of the well-educated heart, but our lives are pretty chaotic right now. I hope we can get back to normal so that we can incorporate some of these beautiful ideas. Let me give you a sampling of the very real problems faced by families in our group. Death of a spouse after a long, terrible illness. Sudden death of a spouse by suicide. Divorce. Separation. Infidelity. Spouse addicted to pornography, alcohol, drugs, video games, or social media. Children addicted to pornography, alcohol, drugs, video games, or social media. Loss of job, financial stresses, and massive debt often occurring in the midst of vital medical procedures. Homelessness and uncertainty. Little children sexually, physically, and emotionally abused by trusted adults or strangers. Rape. Flashbacks of profound sexual abuse and awareness that has only surfaced in adulthood. Paralyzing depression, postpartum depression, overwhelmness, mothers battling debilitating illnesses, cancer, chronic pain, loss of children either through death or by their decisions to separate themselves from their families, infertility, crises of faith, bullying, autism, dysgraphia, dyslexia, and other learning disorders, social anxiety, major differences between husband and wife in educational philosophies and goals, physical handicaps requiring a heavy load of care on the mother. My heart goes out to all these families who are suffering. And although no one has directly said it, I get hints that there are moms out there who think I live in an unreal world of rainbows and flowers and sunshine all day long, that when I talk about music and poetry and fine art, it's because I live in a different world than the messy world in which they sometimes find themselves. But I can tell you that within my own family, we're dealing with a number of the things listed above. It's all part of life. I think about a card my friend sent me. On the cover it said, "Let's get together when things get back to normal." And inside it said, "But what if this is normal?" And that's my point. Life is messy by design. We don't grow strong through ease and lack of opposition. We're here to overcome, but not through our strength alone. In the strength of the Lord, I can do all things. Which brings me to the point of this podcast. The principles I'm teaching here in the Well-Educated Heart are the very means by which you will be able to navigate whatever challenge you may be facing. The arts are the life jacket when you are drowning in the ocean and the sharks are circling. And the mother who equips her child with the arts will prepare and fortify that child for life's battles ahead. I know you're worried about decoding words and memorizing math facts and constructing sentences. But in the hierarchy of needs in childhood, although necessary, they are not my central focus. Like the Garden of Eden, childhood provides a unique window of opportunity in which to plant deep impressions of beauty and truths that will be anchors to their souls in the lone and dreary wilderness that we all pass through one way or another. We have to be so careful that we don't get caught in the thick of thin things. When your heart is breaking, I guarantee you won't be reaching for your multiplication tables. This idea of building a temple within my heart that I talked about in the previous podcast has been a life-changing concept for me. I cannot heal the damage done to my soul in this fallen world. I cannot fix most of the problems I face. But there is one who can. And if I focus on preparing a place for him to come and keep it clean and pure and quiet, he does come. And in his love, I feel joy and peace and beauty and safety, even though the sharks are still circling. And isn't this the gift we want to give our children? But only he can teach you how to do it for your children, which is why you must first tend to building the temple within your own heart, preparing a place that he can commune with you. Brigham Young taught, "Mothers, let your minds be sanctified before the Lord, For this is the commencement, the true foundation of a proper education in your children. He knows the mothers are the moving instruments in the hands of Providence to guide the destinies of nations. I've had a couple of letters just this last week from moms who have been trying to interest their friends in the well-educated heart. And sometimes these friends will begin, but they say it's too hard and they leave it behind and choose one of the open and go curriculums. They asked me why I thought they did that, and I answered that I believe it's largely driven by fear. We live in a tower-climbing world. People are watching where you are on the tower as far as teaching your children, and all they can measure is what level of reading or math or writing they're on. There's a lot of pressure to not fall behind. And it's the familiar world. The activities in most curriculums are the kinds of learning activities we all grew up with, and we always gravitate towards the familiar. It's a safe place. And many moms lack the confidence that they can teach their children at all. You can measure progress in these academic programs, and many moms live in places where they are required to report such things under stiff penalties of not complying. I get that. It's a huge challenge for us in this generation. But everything within me urges me forward in laying a path for a new way, really restoring an old way, even if the followers are few. I've experienced this way of learning and living for myself, and my only regret is that I am so inept at transferring that vision in a way that doesn't overwhelm you, because it really is simple, as all truth is simple. And although we may not be able to do it to perfection right now, we can begin in small and simple ways to move away from being a tower-climbing people towards being a temple-building people in education, where the Lord can be the teacher. Because, as I've often quoted from Charlotte Mason's writings, true education is between a child's soul and God. As Heber C. Kimball wrote, "Would you rather possess in education the real flower or the artificial one? Would you not rather have true education direct from heaven than the artificial one of the world? The one educates the head and the heart, the other the head alone." Or as Brigham Young wrote, "When a man is full of the light of eternity, then the eye is not the only medium through which he sees. His ear is not the only medium by which he hears, nor the brain the only means by which he understands." We tend to be so unwilling to allow that kind of learning to happen, to relinquish our control. And in that control, which is primarily seen in our focus on academics in childhood, I truly believe we are hardening the hearts of our children. Hard-heartedness is a real condition and will block their ability to feel the influence of the Spirit. The primary function of the arts is to soften and open hearts. So let me briefly review again how the languages of the heart, which are the arts, help us in building the temple within. Music changes lives at the deepest level of our being. It travels where words alone cannot reach. Music brings harmony and order to our souls, or rather I should say the right kind of music. Some of you may have watched the same YouTube going around that talked about the music of today. I always say it all sounds the same to me, and this explained why. It really is the same. After listing a long list of today's top performers, it said that two people, whose names none of us would recognize, are writing the vast majority of their songs. They're using hooks to hook people into the music, and people are drawn to its familiarity. They're also compressing the music in a way that turns it into noise. And in another YouTube, it went through the 40 top hits, and all 40 use the same four basic chords. My takeaway from this is that our children are being desensitized to music. Strong, repetitive, rhythmic beat in the absence of melody shuts down thoughts and feeling, not to mention that so many of the songs never go home. They leave you dangling at the end. That inspired music that heals our souls and our bodies and even reveals the very glory of God to the deepest parts of our beings is rejected because of a lack of sensitivity to this finer music. I won't spend the time here, but part of the solution is to help make classical music familiar to the ears of your children. You can't force it on them, but you can sure play it in your home because you want to hear it. And if they happen to hear it at the same time, well, that's just what you want. There's also much that happens when we sing. I've talked about elsewhere that the voice is the connector between mind and heart. The Greeks understood that, and it is one of the secrets of their greatness. Those whose hearts are hard or closed often find it very difficult to sing because singing is so emotional. But the lesson in Sound of Music isn't lost on me. When the captain opened his mouth and sang, his heart softened. Jesus sang a hymn with his disciples at the Last Supper, a hymn that evidently, according to Jewish tradition, would have lasted an hour. What might it have done to prepare him for what lie ahead? Singing is a bonding activity, and there's great strength in a family who sings together. I sat next to a woman in church this morning who only recently joined our church. She's from Poland, and her English is very limited. But there we were, sharing a hymn book. The songs are unfamiliar to her, but I felt her trying to blend her voice with mine, and it was a sweet, unifying moment with her, even though our normal language is a barrier. Music is a universal language. Songs can plant deep, eternal truths in the hearts of children in a pleasurable way, so singing is a vital and prominent part of education in a well-educated heart home and should be used in abundance. Our study of fine art is really a study in recognizing beauty in the world all around us. It opens our eyes so we can see, and as Charles Kingsley wrote, beauty is God's handwriting. The beautiful images are hung on the walls of the temple within, where we can be reminded of the truths painted by the hearts of inspired artists. Our focus on drawing is because drawing produces an exactness of thought. I am far more interested in helping a child learn to draw what he is seeing than to write words in the beginning. Learning to write words for a child who has spent a lot of time drawing is an easy transfer at the right time, and pictures are far more interesting to a child than letters. As we sketch, we begin to see things we never would have seen if we didn't develop a habit of sketching that which we see. When the camera was invented, John Ruskin spent years trying to convince the people to not stop sketching because he knew we would lose our ability to see. And hasn't that happened? We take thousands of pictures, looking, but never really seeing. I've started applying Jack Law's tools he gave us to apply in nature journaling to the fine art I look at. The three tools are I notice, I wonder, and that reminds me of. It's brought my appreciation to a whole new level, and the images are much clearer in my memory. And by the way, I demonstrate it in the enrichment video posted in the Catch the Vision course. The mission of poetry is to make glad the heart of man. Poetry is also music and pictures. It does not teach, it inspires. As one of the heart educators described, poetry pierces past the outer husk of things into their inner reality, which it interprets for the soul. Poetry ministers to the inward life. The true poet has been given not only a soul awake to all the beauty of the world, but the power to translate his vision into the beauty of human language. Yet most adults lack the faculty that can appreciate it because it was never nurtured and developed in childhood. For the child who was raised hearing the music of poetry, to which their hearts are naturally drawn, he will be so blessed in later years. Poetry is meant to be read aloud in order to feel the music. Don't assign poems to be learned and copied. Let a child freely look for those poems that connect to him and connects to his own heart. We're all different. The same poem won't mean the same thing to me as it does to you. And you may not even like the same poems as I do. At the suggestion of the heart educators, I picked up a cute little blank book at A.C. Moore, and every time I come across a poem that grabs my heart, I take the time to hand copy it in my book, and it's become a treasure of comfort and inspiration to me. Finally, we are drawn to stories like a moth to a candle. Can we get enough of them? Blessed is the child whose childhood is immersed in worthy stories. The hearts of these children are filled with treasures that will enrich them their entire lives. And when you tell a story by heart, There's a bond and a connection made between you and your child that's difficult, if not impossible, to break. There's nothing else in the world like it. No wonder Jesus went about the countryside telling stories. I've spent the last 15 years immersed in the stories of great men and women, and they have truly changed my life. They help me see life in 1,000 different ways and hoist me up on their shoulders for a higher view. I'm surrounded by them and influenced by them in every moment of my day. Many of these people have been friends of the Savior, and they show me what the path of discipleship looks like. They teach me and comfort me and give me courage. I cannot be influenced by a story that has never been planted in my heart, and neither can your children. Stories have opened up the beauties of nature. Just to walk outside, I feel wrapped in the arms of God's love, which is a huge blessing when my heart is weighed down with the troubles we're facing. Stories have given me eyes to see and a heart to understand in ways I never before imagined. I've loaded the Libraries of Hope website with the kind of stories that will feed the hearts of your children and you in an ennobling and uplifting way if you will take advantage of them. The thing about the arts is that when you are engaged in them, you are living in the moment. You are not living in the regrets of the past or the fears of the future. I think it was Emerson who said, "We are what we think about all day long." When your moments are filled with art that connects you to that which is good and beautiful and true, in a very real sense, it goes into the very building materials of your soul. And when your soul is a place of beauty, the Spirit of the Lord will come and dwell with you and inspire you using the very materials with which you are building your temple to teach you. The arts are some of the finest building materials you can quarry for that temple within. The foundation stones belong to Him. After all, it is a house built for Him. It is through the arts, the stories, the pictures, the hymns, the poetry, that we best come to know Him, because only these languages will reach into our hearts and enable us to see Him through spiritual eyes. Through the arts, in words borrowed from John Taylor, our souls are like a well-tuned harp. When we are touched by the spirit of inspiration, there is a kindred chord in our bosoms. They vibrate to the touch, and we are filled with sacred melody. When we tend to the inside, the outside will take care of itself. Beautiful hearts will build a beautiful world. So the classroom of the heart, which should be the classroom of childhood, is filled with song and music, with story and poetry, with pictures and conversation and drawing and love. Nature provides the perfect classroom because it is filled with all these things. This advice is given to mothers by Brigham Young. Instead of being behind the whip, always be in advance. Then you can say, "Come along," and you will have no use for the rod. They will delight to follow you and will like your words in ways because you are always comforting them and giving them pleasure and enjoyment. I know these words will still fall short for many of you. It may not make sense. It may still be really hazy. It's my biggest challenge and frustration to translate a vision into words. I'm so weak in that. But when I take that frustration to the Lord, I'm always filled with the comfort that He can deliver the message in spite of my awkwardness and weakness of my words. So I keep trying, trusting that He will make up the difference. This morning, the thought struck me that baptism is a symbolic representation of being born again, really being born into spiritual things, the realm of things which are unseen, which is the realm we deal with in the well-educated heart. In our church, we baptize by immersion, and the word immersion is really what I'm trying to do, to immerse you in the writings of the heart educators in the hopes that they will give you new eyes and new understanding. That's why I do so many podcasts and I'm preparing other things, because I know you're busy, but there is no way to truly do this way of learning without seeing it through new eyes and new understandings. I hope by making audio recordings, you can listen while you're doing other things in your day that need to be done. Mothers of Influence, in connection with the Mothers University, has been organized to help you mothers come together and strengthen and encourage each other as you learn the art of cultivating hearts through the arts. You plus one other person is all it takes to start. And if you have no one near you who's interested, please consider joining in the conversation in one of our online groups. You don't have to do this alone. Let me close with one last thought that I think best sums up the direction I'm trying to take you. Thrust a man into a prison and bind him with chains, and then let him be filled with the comfort and the glory of eternity, and that prison is a palace to him. Again, let a man be seated upon a throne with power and dominion in this world, ruling his millions and millions, and without that peace which flows from the Lord of hosts, without that contentment and joy that comes from heaven, his palace is a prison. When a person is filled with the peace and power of God, all is right with him. Please don't give up. Baby steps work. By small and simple means, great things will be brought to pass. I really believe that. Bye-bye. See you next time.